If you got your Bibles with you, let's continue our study in the book of Acts. I'd like to say happy New Year again. One of the things I like about New Year's is making plans and things like that. But today's message is when the plans don't work out. And the subtext is God still good? And we're going to see that here, and the answer, of course, is always. So we're going to see that here, but let's have a bit of a review because it's been a minute since we're in the book of Acts. And Acts, we see the explosion of the church. It started in Jerusalem, then it went up to Samaria, and then not just a couple of chapters ago, we saw it broke into a city of Antioch. And Antioch is over there in Syria. And if we look at the Mediterranean Sea, and here's Israel, it's going up, 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 and it's still in Asia, and it comes up to where Macedonia and Turkey or Galatia had met, and it's kind of right there, and that's where the Apostle Paul is right now. Along the way, he had met some people. Along the way, after we went to the Jerusalem Council, he had good news for him. He said, men, you don't have to be circumcised anymore. And all the men said, amen. Put down your knives. Here's what we need you to do. Don't eat the blood offered to sacrifices. Stay away from that strange flesh and enjoy the kingdom. And it was being well received, and we pick up in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, and it says, and the church increased in the numbers daily. So the church was just exploding. But Paul is right here, right close to this isthmus between Asia and Europe, and Paul has plans. He wants to continue, and this is where we're going to pick up right now. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the devil. I misread that, didn't I? Because it doesn't say it's forbidden of the devil. And here's the point. You know, sometimes when I am prevented from something, when my plans don't work out, there's a tendency sometimes to think that it's this evil resistance. But sometimes when our plans don't work out, when we meet resistance, it's not Satan. And sometimes I think that we give Satan a little bit too much credit. Because many times it's the Holy Ghost that's forbidden us. And it says right here they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit. Now, I understand being forbidden of the Holy Spirit saying some things. Oh, don't look at me like y'all have never had words that you had to choke back like vomit that wanted to come out of you. And it was the Lord inside of you that said, don't say that thing, and pulled it right back in. Don't look at me like that. You're all sinners. We're all sinners. But it says, and I can understand the Holy Spirit forbidding me from doing that. And I can understand the Holy Spirit forbidding me and holding me back from going to certain parties and hanging out with certain people. But from preaching? I don't get that. That kind of strikes me as a little bit weird. I mean, after all, the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And now you're saying, but don't do it right here. And so we're in a very intriguing section of Scripture right here. It said, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. What's up with God holding Paul back from preaching the gospel? Why would God send his son and spare not his son? Here Paul is, he goes and tries to preach, and God says no. Paul had plans, but God said no. Paul's, Jesus had said, go into the world, preach all the gospel. Paul says, okay. God says, but not here. Well, I'm trying to do just what you told me to do. Try again. Well, maybe we can go to Mysia, because Mysia is on the border. No. Now, honestly, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us at this point might have just gone on home, because the moment we make progress and the progress stops, we tend to get a little bit discouraged. But here's the thing about being a good parent. Sometimes you got to tell your kids no. And God is still good when he says what every good parent has to say once in a while. No. No, I'm not going to make it easier. No, I'm not going to bring them back to life. No, I'm not doing away with that diagnosis. No, I'm not taking that thing away. And Paul had to experience this because he had actually had something we called a thorn in the flesh, and the Scripture tells us that he prayed three times, and God every time said no. First time, Paul says, Lord, please take this away. No. Lord, I'm asking you, pretty please take this thing away. Second time, God says no. Lord, with a cherry on top, pretty please, take this thing away, and God still says no. Scripture is replete with instances where God says no to the plans of men. But is God still good? Yes. And we're going to see that. We're going to see it in an amazing way, and God is still good in your life too. And that's my question, is God still good, or do you have a conditional faith that when God says no, you go home? That when it doesn't happen overnight and when you don't see the results right away, not only do you quit the gym, you quit the church and you quit praying. And so we tried here, God says no, so I guess it's God's will for me to just go on home. But Paul didn't see it that way, because Paul knew that just because God said no, hear me, it doesn't mean it's over. And I don't know what no you've been told by God lately in life, or by a doctor, or by another person. I don't know what the no is in your life, but I don't have to know what the no is, because here's what I know, it's not over. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So when God says no, many times it's because there's something else that's going on. And this is for somebody. And this message is for somebody who's been told no, and the pain hasn't gone away, and the memory hasn't gone away, and it hasn't gotten easier, and your situation has not changed. Brothers and sisters, it's not over. Just because God said no doesn't mean that he's left you alone. He is with you. Hear me now. He is with you in the no, just like he is with you in the yes. And he knows what's on the other side of the no, so don't go home. Don't go home just because God said no. So Paul says, it says, now when they had gone throughout the Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they were assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And and they, passing Mysia, came down to Troas. So Paul is trying to get somewhere in verse 7 when they came to the border of Mysia. And so you know that if we're looking at it and we're at Turkey and right where that isthmus is where you cross over to Europe, that's the region of Mysia right there. Mysia, Bithynia, Galatia. But on the other side of the isthmus is the continent of Europe. And there is this area right here in the continent of Europe, which is where we're about to head. So it says, and they were assayed to go, and they were passing by Mysia to come down to Troas. They wanted to go to Bithynia. That was the plan that Paul had. So they had to pass by. And sometimes you have to pass by your plan in order to get to God's purpose in your life. And this is what's going on right here, and I want you to hear me with some spiritual ears. Paul passed by what he had planned in order to get to what God had purposed. So he passes by Mysia. See ya. He goes to Troas where he waits. But he waits because he knows that if God says no, that obstacle, that thorn, that area, just because God said no, it's not over. And that's kind of unusual and very difficult for me to get my mind around sometimes. But think about Joseph in prison. Do you think that when the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph in prison, that in that moment that Joseph knew that and felt that? Well, the Bible doesn't really say. And sometimes you don't really know what you need until you get what you want and find out it wasn't even what you thought it was. So Paul wants to go to Asia, but he's blocked. So Paul goes to Mysia, but he's blocked. And he does something that you have to learn to do when you don't know what to do. Instead of going home, he goes to a place of what I like to call active waiting. And it means, God, I'm not just waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting on you, God. So what would you like me to do in this season? I am praying for a new job, but until I get it, I'm being nice at the job that I have. I'm praying for my kids, and while I'm praying for my kids, I'm going to model the behavior that I'm praying about, so I'm not going to lose my temper while I'm praying for my kid to handle his anger issue. It's active waiting, and that's what he's doing. And it says, and they passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And Troas is this city. It's a port city. It's a port city, Asia Minor on one side, Europe on the other side. Where are you going? What's God doing? I don't know, but I'm not going home. I don't know, but I'm not giving up. I don't know, but I'm not losing sight. I don't know, but I'm not going to go into despair. I don't know. So I'm in this place. I'm positioned to hear God's voice, and God speaks to Paul in the city of Troas. Let me ask you this. Where's your Troas right now? What area of your life are you actively waiting on God to give you direction? Well, here in Paul's Troas, God speaks to him. And it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. I love the details of the Bible. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. He was at Troas. He was waiting, and a vision appeared to him in the night, in the nighttime when it's dark, in the nighttime when you can't see clearly, in the nighttime when you can't see the horizon of all the opportunities that you have. The Bible is replete with instances of God revealing himself in the night. And here Paul is, and in the night he has a vision, and his vision is absolutely fascinating. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man, you might want to underline that, of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Let's pause and kind of dig into some of the details. Because if you slow down and you read the Bible, you're going to pick up some things. One of the things is you're going to pick up some amazing detail that's in there. And there's a couple of details in here I want you to pick up on. So Paul is having a vision. It's in the night, and there's this dude, and he appears, and he says, come over and help us. Now, in verse 7, I want you to read it. In verse 7, as Luke is writing this gospel, he says, and I'm sorry, as Luke is writing this book, he says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of the Lord suffered them not. And then Paul has a vision. And after we had seen, and then it says in verse 10, and after he, that's Paul, had seen the vision, immediately, now circle this pronoun, we. Did you catch that? So Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, is saying they, and then in verse 10, he says we. Luke has just joined the effort, and he's a part of it. And many times I think about what an amazing amount of faith it takes for Paul to go out. Because can we all agree that sometimes our faith isn't as strong as other times? And that if we have a vision or if we have a dream, that maybe if it doesn't, excuse me, if it doesn't line up with our plans, that we have a little bit of resistance. Well, it doesn't say that Paul had any resistance. It says immediately. Immediately. There's another one of those amazing words. Let me tell you something. This is for our kids. It's for everybody. There is a blessing in immediate obedience. And it says that Paul had a vision and immediately we. And I think about what an amazing amount of faith that Paul had in order to follow this vision, but Luke didn't have that vision. Luke didn't have that dream, but Luke bought into it. And I'm looking right now at a bunch of Lukes. Because y'all didn't see the crucifixion, but you're following the faith. Y'all didn't have the vision, but you're following the faith. And Luke had this amazing amount of faith with him. And he joined in with the Apostle Paul. So what happens? Paul has this vision, and there is a dude that's standing there. It says, come on over and help us to Macedonia. So y'all know at this time, Macedonia has a population. It is a large region north of Greece. It's a large region of approximately 300,000 people. And so Paul says, okay, let's go. And so they pack up and they cross over. And it says right here, and it says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came straight course to Samothracia. And the next day into Neapolis. So they're doing a little bit of island hopping to make it that little 20 miles across the water. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, you can put in parentheses, a Roman colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So what happened? Paul had the vision. And immediately, Luke joins in, and they set on out, and they land up in the city of Philippi. So Macedonia is an area of 300,000 people, and Paul is going to look for a dude. Well, how tall is a dude? Well, we don't know. Blue eyes or brown eyes or green eyes? We don't know. But they're going to go look, and they're going to go head on over there. And it says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and the colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So here Paul is. He's been given a vision to say, go, and now he has to wait yet again. And we had to abide certain days. So if you, let me ask you this. So you're waiting on God. What's a good thing to do while you're waiting on God? How about getting around some fellow believers? I'm just throwing it out there. If 8-year-old kid from Home Alone who's been at home 3 days by himself can make it to church, you can too. Okay. What, Kevin McAllister, is that his name? Yeah, okay. I mean, dude was by himself at home for 3 days and he still made it into the cathedral. You can too. So it says, they were waiting, and it says on verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out by the city, by a riverside, where a prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Okay. The vision was man, but now they're talking to a woman. Do you know that sometimes God doesn't appear to you in the manner, in the method that you thought he should? See, the vision was of a man. But they're encountering what God wanted through a woman. This is an amazing moment when you kind of think about it. Because what they're doing is, as they go into this, they're in a season of active waiting, and they say, okay, it's time for us to go about our worship. And in order for a city to have a synagogue, you had to have 10 Jewish men. Well, they don't even have a synagogue in the city. So if you don't have a synagogue in the city, what do? You go down to the place to pray, which is what they are doing. Your worship of God is important. Getting around other believers is important. Getting in that corporate fellowship and worship is important. And this is where this is where Paul encounters God's plan for him. But what's amazing is that the purpose of God takes the form of a need. Because the vision came and said, come help us over here. In other words, Paul, we have a need in Macedonia, and we need you to be a need meter. And so Paul heads on over to Macedonia. Luke's beside him. His company's beside him. When they get to Macedonia, it hasn't been revealed yet, so Paul does what he does. He worships, and it's at that time during the worship that God reveals what the need is. The need is to meet this little lady, Lydia, and those that she's with. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, and so y'all know, and the kids might not know this, a seller of purple meant that she was an industrious woman, but the color purple meant that she was also a fairly wealthy woman. And so she's providing this industrial service and selling purple. And it says, she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you that God has already worked on her heart, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is the ability to have faith and believe. And she's worshiping God. She is and the language actually means a God-fearer. So she was a Hellenistic Jew who worshiped the Judean God. And she worshiped him, but she didn't know him in the person of Jesus. And that's why Paul is there. God has so many of his born-again children right now who don't know him in the person of Jesus. And that's why we exist as a church. And so Paul goes on over, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened. So she's already born again. Her heart's already receptive. It's already been a done deal. And she attended, it says in Scripture, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So, this is why God had to tell Paul no to Macedonia and no about Asia, because there was a more desperate need somewhere else. And I wonder sometimes, maybe God has told you no for a reason. I wonder if God has left you in a place for a reason. And what you'll find when you're looking for God's plan, by the way, is if you look for a place where God is working, you'll find it almost in every situation. God was already at work in the city of Philippi before Paul ever got there. And if you'll look for God in any given situation, you're going to find him. God will show up at a custody hearing, a bankruptcy hearing. God will show up in a divorce or a broken heart. God will show up in a season of dependency. He'll show up in a season of crisis, and he'll show up in a national turmoil. God is here because God is present in the no just as powerfully as he's present in the yes. God is here, and if I'm looking for him, Paul says, I might not find what I expected. I might not get what I had planned for. I might not get what I had wanted, but God will meet all my needs. And this is what we know. Here was this woman, this Old Testament God-fearer, a Gentile believer, somebody who needed the message, got together with somebody who needed a congregation. God is a need meter. And God knows how to put you where you need to be to release what he gave you to carry. And what did Paul see in this vision? A man from Macedonia. God's not going to do it how you thought he was. He's not going to, and it might not feel like you thought it would feel, and he's not going to do it through people that you wanted him to do it through, or even maybe a place where you thought, no synagogue, let's find a place of prayer. And God is looking to get Paul to Lydia. I want you to understand the importance of this moment, because God shut down the apostolic tour because Lydia was looking. And Paul didn't know her name, but he went through what he thought he was supposed to go. He didn't go to where he thought he was supposed to go to. And sometimes the best you can do, the best you can do is to obey the best you know how. And that can set you free. A certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide with us there. And, excuse me, the Lord had opened her heart. And when she was baptized in her household, so it was never just about Lydia, it was about breaking the gospel into the continent of Europe. Because this was the first church. And we are sitting here today in Camp Creek Church because the gospel came to us through the continent of Europe and through this lady Lydia. God had bigger plans than Paul's thoughts. But how did we get there? Because when God said, okay, you're not going to go here, you're not going to go to Bithynia, you're going to go to Troas, and you're going to wait, this is what Paul did. He took one small step after another small step after another small step after another small step until the bigger plan was revealed to him. Brothers and sisters, there is a blessing in obedience. And there's a blessing in immediate obedience. And so I want to give you one other thing. Because Lydia had heard it. She was a seller of purple. She had heard the gospel. The Lord had worked in her heart already, and the message resounded clear. And so she got baptized. And not only did Lydia get baptized, but her entire household got baptized because of the kind of person that she was. She didn't keep what she had. She gave what she had. And brothers and sisters, when we change our perspective from the fact that we are receptacles to the fact that we are vessels to give unto other people, it's an incredible paradigm shift. And sometimes I fear that in the consumeristic culture of America, that we can be, well, I want the church to meet my needs, and it's what can I get. But that's really not the Christian example. The Christian example is not what can I get, but what can I give. And so what Paul was doing was he was looking, and God revealed himself in a need. My question for 2024 is, is what needs do you see? How can you minister to other people? Because it's through you that in 2024, other people will meet Jesus Christ. From Paul to Lydia, and from Lydia to the house, from the house to Europe, to Camp Creek, and from Camp Creek and the membership of Camp Creek to the community.